Thank you. I'm going to officially call the meeting to order at 9:06. So we can begin. Thank you all for coming out today on this early morning and just making time out of your busy day to spend some time here in this committee. We value your partnership as we work to fulfill the objectives that we have today. Kate, I haven't met you. My name is Christine Cole. I'm one of the associate superintendents. My responsibility is school leadership, and under my umbrella, I have the principals, counselors, nurses, and professional learning. And so, Shaq is part of my responsibility. And I've enjoyed just kind of having a better understanding of how the committee works and really working to make this committee more of a formal committee. I feel we've had Shaq since, I don't know, the beginning of time, it feels like, since it was first into law. And I think that because we're such a close-knit district, we've had some informal practices and just really working to make sure it's a formal committee as we're charged by the Texas Education Code, but also our school board. So I appreciate all of y'all that kind of started with me at the beginning of the year. And as we close out this year, I think that we're going to get there for sure. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Reimers, and she is going to give us a membership update.
All right, thank you. For those who don't know me, I am Allison Reimers. I am actually a parent of two Cypress students. I am also a nursing administrator at Memorial Hermann Cypress right up the street. So thank you. So we have some new members. Since I had to stand up, you guys get to stand up too. And so just tell us one little thing about you when we have you stand up. We're going to start with Steve Gill.
Had my wife graduated from Jersey Village. I've got three kids. Two have already graduated. One's a sophomore. So we've done the cook post Jersey Village thing. So we've been here 22, 23 years.
Well, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Carolyn Gonzalez.
Hi, I'm Carolyn. I have two kids at one in Owens and one at Bob Riley's
School. All right. Welcome. And Heather Wilson.
I have six kids in Cypress ISD, and I think the principal actually got it. I am a registered nurse. I don't know how much that means with what we're doing, but I'm happy.
Well, welcome, and thank you all for volunteering. We also have two principals. If I pronounce the last name wrong, please apologize and correct me. Susan Brenz. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Are
you
right.
Principal?
Yes.
Principal at Woodard Elementary.
All right, welcome. And Jose Martinez.
Hello, everyone. I'm Principal at Langham Creek High School.
Welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'd also like to acknowledge our board member that's here with us, Natalie Blassengate, Dr. Blassengate. Thank you for being here. All right. Next, we have the minutes.
We're going to review the minutes. I'll get them up for you.
Okay, hello, I'm Melinda Hood, Director of Health Services, and we are going to put the minutes up on the screen. If you will take a look at those, we'll give you just a second. Well, I'll give you more than a second to look at them.
Thank you.
Okay, and just so you know, the minutes are always available on the Shack website, the Shack portion of the CFISD website, so if ever you want to take a look at those are there, as well as the recording of the meeting and the agendas. So at this time, does anybody have any questions or comments regarding the meeting minutes? Okay, then we are, if I can get a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
I move to approve the meeting minutes.
Thank you, Elaine. Second on that one?
A second.
Thank you very much.
Can you say your name? Jennifer Moya is the second. And Elaine Ware was first.
W-A-I-N-R.
Thank you.
All right. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes as posted, please raise your hand.
What
are you doing? You're going to have to bear with me. Okay. All those opposed? Perfect. All right. Thank you.
So all were in favor.
All were in favor. Yes.
Melinda.
Yes. Yes, of course.
You said they're always posted.
Yes.
Are they posted after we approve them?
They are put on there, and then if there's any changes, we go back and update it. So we post the meeting. By law, we have to do it within, I think it's a week's time. They can make it
that
today,
is correct.
We have to post them. And then if there's any changes or amendments, we go back and put those on there.
So if you go under our district committees, are all the district committees, and you can see that Shaq is here. So once you click on it, that gets you to our landing page for those of you that knew or are not aware. All right. Our next order of business is our bylaws subcommittee has a report. So Jennifer Moya and Carolyn Krispicki. Do you need the clicker? Do you want me to click for you?
You can click for
okay.
me. Good morning. My part is going to be extremely short. Last meeting, we asked for subcommittee, who was interested in being in the subcommittee for our bylaws, because we needed to redo them. We hadn't redone them in a while, which Carolyn will get into. And so our subcommittee members, if you don't mind standing up so everyone can see you, we did meet twice, and it was a very lengthy meeting, and we deep dived into it, and we worked really, really hard. So Loretta, Carolyn, myself, Teresa, Darren, did I say that right? Elaine, and then of course we had Dr. McCraig and Christina were also there. So it was a mixture of community members, parents, we had a member, and then some CFISD employees as well on the subcommittee. Anytime we're on a subcommittee, it is a lengthy process. We are volunteering our time, but because we love our district. On your tables, you will see a blue booklet that is a resource that is going to be for this topic. And then you'll see another booklet that was on there as well. So those will be your resources to follow along while we go through the slides. Thank you.
Okay. Before I get started, Jennifer said it was a lengthy process, but I do want to encourage people to be on subcommittees because it's a great way to get more involved and help the district. So, what you'll see on the next couple of slides, our current bylaws need to be changed. And the last time we did bylaws changes was in 2012. That is 12 years ago. And there have been 6 legislative updates from our legislature. So on the next couple slides, what we're going to do is share with you what the changes are that we are recommending to these bylaws and why. And then on your table, yes, are all the resources that we utilize. So kind of see those, but the notable changes. So there have been 7 changes over the last 12 years by the Texas legislature that impacted the shack. Lots of words on these couple of pages, couple of slides that have the details of those legislation. Among these, the legislature has given the shack more responsibility and asked them to make recommendations to policies, procedures, strategies, and curriculum for things, excuse me, things such as heart disease, diabetes, e-cigarettes, opioid abuse, human sexuality, dating violence, family violence, fentanyl abuse, e-cigarettes. These are very sensitive topics, but they all now fall under shock responsibility. And so that's basically what these couple of slides are indicating. Also, we need to do more in the area of PE and fitness planning. So maybe a little less sensitive on that one. So we have definitely seen the impact of this legislation in the SHAC meetings, the topics, the presentations, the discussions that we've had. So as a SHAC, we have been addressing all of these issues. We just haven't formalized the bylaws. And so that's why we need to come in, make these changes. All the recommendations that we're making are just codifying what the legislature has tasked us to do. And so we want to make sure and capture that and formalize that. So you can look at all the details there. And then the next set of changes that I want to reflect. So in addition to, you know, really the legislative requirements that we now have, we wanted to take this opportunity to elevate the administration of the SHAC. So as you might imagine, as we have more responsibility, it becomes more important to formalize and, you know, identify how we do this and put more administration in place. As Christina has, you know, seen and with some of the just formalization motions and minutes and things like that. So we're going from an informal committee to a more formal committee. And so that's where some of these changes are also noted. So we are gonna be looking at the bylaws annually. Obviously we don't anticipate this many changes every year, but we do wanna take a look at that. We are also expanding the attendance. So I'm just going to read this. Members are expected to attend at least half of the general meetings annually, and we have 4 meetings, so I'd like people to participate at least 3 meetings. If you do not fulfill the attendance expectation, then membership status may be reviewed by the SHAC co-chairpersons. This is not that different, actually, than what's in the current bylaws. The current bylaws say you need to attend at least 2 meetings. Or if you miss 2 meetings, then they look at the attendance. If you miss 3, then you will be removed. So you can see it's not all that different. There's some just changes in the way that we're trying to reflect that in the wording. And also we want to make sure we actually administer this attendance. So it's going to be looked at. So I'm going to be clear. Everybody knows what the expectations are. We do want people to participate. You've been nominated by the principles and things like that. So we do want participation, but we will put more administration around it. We have added a code of conduct. I'm not going to read through that. It's on page 11 of the bylaws, so you can take a look at that if you want, but pretty straightforward expectations there. And then finally, we took a long look at membership and how we wanted to handle the membership of the committee. So one parent member from each principal group will be selected by the principal cluster group leader. That's similar to how we're doing it today. Parent members must be parent or guardian of a student who attends a school within the cluster group and resides inside their ISD. We spent a long time talking about membership. We wanted to ensure that, you know, critical topics, I mentioned sensitivity to topics that are under this committee, and we wanted to make sure that with that sensitivity, we really are leaning on our parents and our community to influence the policies that we have. And so you'll see we're focusing a lot in on the parents and residents of Slyker ISD. We've got a great community. We have a lot of resources involved in our community. We have the parents that really want to be involved, and so this is an opportunity to make sure we're leaning on those parents. Our parents our community, you know, leave the committee, but really look at our policies, our curriculum. The Board of Trustees can appoint members. They must reside within Sykar ISD. And then we do have a note here on district employees also can serve on the committee, and they don't have to live within the Sykar ISD boundaries. What I will say here, though, is that while we really need the participation from Sykar ISD employees, they are not those members of the committee. Parents and community members are the only ones that are voting members. So. And then we also added a nepotism restriction. This is pretty standard wording, and some of the other districts that we used as benchmarking also included that. So you can see the wording. All right. A couple other changes I want to note here. As you look at the, in just a moment, as you look at the recommendations for the bylaws, it actually may look a little bit more dramatic and drastic than the changes really are, because we did a lot of reorganization of the previous bylaws. So we organized into these five different sections. Again, for us, it made more administrative and logical sense to reorganize it. So there's no dramatic changes, but you can see that those five sections are how we organized it. All right, and finally, reading the drafts of these bylaws so you can take a look at them. A couple, this is your key right here to how to interpret the blue line copies. We have a couple of abbreviations. So if it says per TEC, then that's something that is required by the legislature. Therefore, we included that. The subcommittee, again, made some revisions, wording changes or deletions, and then we moved around a lot of things. So if it, anything that got moved, we actually indicate where that material moved to. And then anything that has a line through it was moved or deleted. The underlined sections are additions. And I do suggest don't even bother with the table of contents, because you changed it in some way, shape, or form. So with that, just a little bit of examples. If you didn't, does everybody have the copies to look at?
They were on the way in.
Yeah, they were at the table on the way in. They weren't on the tables. But just as an example, page 5, if you look at page 5, you'll see there's a lot of comments there where it says move to, and that's because that's the sections that we completely reorganized. Page 7, these are the additions that the legislature has asked us to include, so there's a lot of additions there, and it says for TEC. And then page 11, you know that's the membership, and that's where you'll see a lot of the membership recommendations.
The
old bylaws are on the table.
Okay.
The resources that we used are on the table. I trust that we did lots of comparing of things and lots of discussion. The exciting part of doing a bylaw revision is that you just get to look at details, you know, and work word, you know, all the words. So. What we have about 10 minutes. If you all have questions, we're going to look through that. And what we would really like to do today is request someone make a motion to approve these bylaws and make them official for us. So that's our goal. Any questions?
We're going to give you about 10 to 15 minutes to review.
Again, if you have questions.
Thank you.
I had a question over here about the conflict of interest. So let me just answer that. It is on page 11, conflict of interest. So what this says is if someone has a financial interest, then they might have a conflict of interest. We need to look at that kind of situation. So we don't make decisions in here about vendors or spending money necessarily. So there may not be too many financial conflict of interest. But I think, again, as we formalize this, we need to, if you think you might have a conflict of interest, I think you need to bring that forward and share that and let the chairpersons make a decision on that. So for example, we're going to use Liz. Liz is a doctor. She has a clinic. If we were to make a decision in this committee to use Liz's clinic for health services, Liz would have a conflict of interest. Would she need to leave the shack? No, but I think when we're talking about that, Liz needs to go on record in our minutes and say, I have a conflict of interest and I will not, you know, participate in the discussion or vote in the outcome. So again, you know, we're not looking at this to remove her necessarily, but when there may be a conflict of interest, we need to formalize that and get it into the minutes. Do you have any other comments on that?
That was perfect.
So, Angelica.
Angelica
has asked if we have a process to collect or do any kind of financial disclosures, and we have not done that in the past. I don't think we need to do that because, again, this committee isn't necessarily, we're not like the board where they're approving financial outlays. we're making recommendations about curriculum. Now, like I was on the health committee last year, we made recommendations about curriculum. But at the end of the day, we didn't approve the tech, like how much, you know, the school district would have to go find out and negotiate the cost of the textbook or figure out how to good discussion going on. I can tell lots of conversations. Any other questions?
Right.
was talking.
If you need more time, would you mind just raising your hand? If you are still reviewing. I see no hands. All opposed. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Okay, next on the agenda, we have a health services update. Is that right? Oh, no, we have a wellness subcommittee update.
Really quick update for our wellness plan implementation subcommittee. So we've met twice since our last meeting, and we developed some objectives for most of the goals that have data that are easily attainable for us to review. But some of our physical activity goals that we set need to be reworked since the superintendent fun run isn't happening anymore. So we're going to meet
again before the April meeting to kind of rework those goals so that we have some physical activity goals to evaluate. So that's kind of all we have.
All right, I'm just going to give an update about some things that we have been doing in the Health Services Department. The first one is our annual See to Succeed event. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, we had the event February 5th through the 9th at the Berry Center. And if you're not familiar with See to Succeed, it is a partnership with the Houston Health Department, where they come in and they offer comprehensive eye exam and glasses to children who otherwise have no access to these services. So they're kind of a safety net program that assists our students. And so who is eligible? Our students aged 6 through 18. And the way we identify these students is the nurses who do their annual screenings. Those students that fail their vision screenings, we send referrals home to the parents along with applications to for the See to Succeed program. And also teachers, if a teacher recognizes a student is not seeing well in class, they can also refer students. Students with no access to vision care resources is one of the main groups that they are targeting with this program. So we team up with transportation and all of our lovely nutrition service people that help us feed the students lunch, the Berry Center, and the Houston Health Department to coordinate this whole event. So this year, it was our seventh annual event. We have been doing this since 2017. There's just one year, the good old COVID year, that we did not do it. And since that time, we have served more than 8,000 students. This year, 1,050 exams were performed, and we, 1,000, I got this final number last night, 1,002 students will be receiving glasses. So really great, yeah, super exciting, my favorite thing that we do. So, and then the other thing that we've been doing a lot throughout the school year is blood drives. We team up with Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center, as well as a lot. Some of the high schools team up with MD Anderson Cancer Center Blood Bank to provide blood drives around the schools and our facilities. So Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center, they're a community-based blood bank, and so their giving blood helps everybody in the community. A lot of their blood also goes to the hospitals. Anybody that is in need of blood, that's where they send it to. The blood drives this year, this is how many blood drives we've had. You're probably wondering how we kind of do it at elementary and middle schools. Generally, those blood drives are held on either teacher work days or professional days. And they just open it up. A lot of the staff participate, and they also open it up to the community. But we try to choose days that the students are not there so as to not interrupt instructional time. And then at the high school, they offer blood drives. Students that are age 16 and older are, with parent permission, are able to donate. And so some of the high schools, it's not always done through health services. Some of the clubs it usually is a club that holds those blood drives to do a community service project. And so the numbers that I have there for total donors and total units of blood donated, that is just the numbers from the Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center. I did not have the numbers from the MD Anderson. But you can see so far this year across the district, we've had 772 donors and 908 units of blood donated. So. Really excited all the things that we've been doing to offer these services to not only our students but our community. Does anybody have any questions about any of this? Okay, great, thank you.
I don't, thank you. Hello, I'm Elaine Ware, and I help to facilitate the subcommittee for physical activity and fitness planning. So this subcommittee works to consider issues related to physical activity and fitness outside of the scheduled physical education and physical activity minutes during the school day. So at our last meeting, we discussed running clubs. So this is something that we're continuing to investigate what that might look like. So if you're interested in joining our subcommittee, we always meet directly following our full SHAC meetings.
Okay. So just to recap, you guys adopted new bylaws today, so congratulations. I know that was a labor of love for the people on the subcommittee. We had some committee reports, and I'm going to close us out. Does anybody have anything that they would like to ask or to share before we close out our meeting? Okay, it's a quiet group. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Can I get a motion to adjourn? Allison Reimers has made a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I get a second? Okay, what's your name?
Leslie Segerson.
Seconds. So I believe that we are adjourned.
All right,
let's go. Okay, thank you all for your time this morning. We appreciate it.